Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller. We are together learning the Masechet of Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are at the top of Daf Chet Amud Aleph, 8a, and we are beginning a series of short Mishnayot at the very, very top of the page. We've been dealing with Mishnayot that have a certain form. What they do is they take two things that are very similar and compare them, but mention specifically the differences between them. So we said Shabbat and Yom Tov are very similar in that all of the melachot that you're not allowed to do on Shabbat, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, with the exception of these things. We said Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim are very similar in the same way, with the exception of a few things that are different between them. And now we're going to continue on. The first one we had started with is to say that Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are the same, except for certain aspects of Purim that we only do on Adar Sheni and not on Adar Rishon. So we're going to continue with that series of Mishnayot related to a bunch of topics in Shas that don't have anything to do with Purim or Megillah. The first one has to do with the concept of taking, first two actually, have to do with the concept of taking a neder. Now, not that this is necessarily a good thing to do, but there was a practice in which you would take a neder. One way you might take a neder is you would say to someone, I take a neder that I will not get any benefit from this certain person, my friend John. And then you're not allowed to get any benefit at all from him. Now, you might take a similar neder where you would say, I take a vow that I won't eat any food from John. And those nidarim might be slightly different. Although the benefit of food is very broadly defined in the Gemara, in the Tractate of Nidarim, which deals with vows, it says that any benefit which could be converted to food, so for instance, if you got a $5 bill from John, you could then go out and buy food, would be considered a food benefit because you can convert it into a foodstuff. However, it is still not quite the same as saying any benefit I get from John. And the question is, what exactly is the difference? And that's what the Mishnah is going to say now. The Mishnah says, Ein bein hamudar ha'anah mechavero. There is no difference between someone who takes a neder not to get any benefit from his friend, which is more stringent, lemudar mimenu machal, from a person who took a neder not to receive food items from his friend. Ella, the exceptions between them are drisat haregel, which literally means the stomping of the foot, but it means treading into their house. Like, can you walk into John's house if you took a neder not to get food stuff from him? Yes, because walking into his house has nothing to do with food. But if you said you weren't going to get any hana from him at all, you may not even walk into his house, because when you walk into his house, you get the benefit of the warmth of his house, the security of his walls, the protection of his roof. So that's one difference. And the other difference is the kelim she'eino sin bahen echal nefesh, and any kinds of vessels which cannot be used for food preparation. Okay, so those are the two differences, walking into someone's house and using vessels that have nothing to do with food preparation. So the Gemara is going to say, Ha le'inyin kelim she'osin bahan ochel nefesh zev zeshavin, related to vessels that can be used for food preparation or that can somehow be converted into food benefit, they are equal. In other words, neither one of them, both a person who took a neder not to get food benefit and a person who took a neder not to get any benefit, cannot use such vessels from his friend. Okay, drisat haregel, walking into his house. Ha lo kapte inshe. The Gemara asks the question. But people are not makpid about this. Now, it's not that you invite anyone into your house, but when you invite your friend into your house, you don't keep a ledger. You don't charge them or consider like, oh, you got a dollar's worth of benefit from my house, and now I can get a dollar's worth of benefit from your house. It's not something that people are makpid on. There's no specific value attached to it. And if that's true, then wouldn't a person who took a neder not to get any benefit from his friend still be able to go into his house, because the person doesn't care that much? It's not considered a real benefit, not a monetary benefit. So Rava says, Rava, that's the question of the Gemara. It doesn't seem like a real benefit. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hamani, who is this according to? Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion to Amar, who says, Vitur asur b'mudar hana. Something which is forgiven is still forbidden for someone who takes a neder of getting any hana. So in this situation, even though there is some actual benefit to going into someone's house, it's just that the homeowner is mevater. He forgives it. He doesn't count it as a specific monetary amount. However, Rabbi Eliezer says, even though he doesn't count it as a specific amount, and even though he gives it up, he forgives that kind of debt, it is still considered a form of hana. Therefore, if you took a vow not to receive any benefit from a person, you may not walk into their house. But if you took a vow not to receive food items from someone, you may still walk into their house. One other point to mention here is that The Gemara here is only referring, or explains in the commentaries, that the Gemara is only referring here to situations in which you wouldn't rent these vessels that you don't use for food preparation, meaning you can't borrow them from John. He's willing to borrow you can borrow his lawnmower for free. So if you're a person who took a neder not to receive any food benefit from him, you can borrow his lawnmower. But if you're a person who took a neder not to get any benefit from him, you can't borrow his lawnmower. However, if John charges you $5, that's the custom in that place, is that he charges you $5 to borrow his lawnmower, you could use that $5 to buy food, and it would be forbidden even for someone who took a vow of food. The last thing is, Tosfos asks a question about this. He says, if a person is not really makpid about someone coming into his house, then how could it even be considered a kind of a benefit at all? It shouldn't be a problem of benefit of any kind. And basically what he says is that there is a kind of a benefit. No matter how you slice it, there is some benefit, even though it doesn't have a monetary value. Okay, we continue on with the next Mishnah, which also deals with the idea of a neder, a vow, but it makes a distinction between two kinds of vows. We have a vow that we know there are many kinds of vows, because, like, for instance, when we say kol nidre on Yom Kippur, we say kol nidre v'charameh v'konameh v'chinuyeh v'chinuseh. We talk about all sorts of different kinds of vows, but there are two very general categories, and the Gemara is going to define exactly what they are. One is called a neder, which roughly translated is a vow you take upon yourself. And one is called a nidava, which is roughly translated as a vow you take upon, which is roughly translated as a vow you take to do something. We'll see the difference between these in a minute. So, ein bein nidarim le nidavot, there's no difference between a neder and a nidava. Ela sheha nidarim chayav ba'achareyutan. With a neder, you are liable for its replacement value, as we'll see if the animal that you took a neder to offer as a sacrifice is stolen or dies or gets is unable to be offered. You have to replace it. Unidavot eino chayav b'acharitan, but a nidava, you are not responsible for its replacement value. The Gemara, in its same fashion, is going to now define ways in which they are the same. Ha le'inin bal ta'acher. Related to the prohibition of delaying a vow's payment, they're equal. There's a long discussion in the beginning of the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah, how long you have to pay off how long you have to take to fulfill a vow if you take a vow, and you don't specify how long it is. And generally the rule is 1 year you have to take a vow, but we define that year based on the holidays. So basically you have to go through a cycle of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, all the three regalim. That's how much time you have to fulfill your vow. And whether it's a neder or a nidava, the time frame will be the same. Tanan hatam, we learned in a Mishnah, ezahu neder, what is a neder? Haomer, it's one who says, hare alai ola, I take upon myself to bring an ola sacrifice. Ezohi nidava, and what is a nidava? Haomer, hare zu ola, if he says, this animal will be an ola. So in one case, he refers, the way in which he articulates the vow is upon himself, and in one case, the way in which he articulates the vow is on the animal. Uma bein nedarim l'nedavot, and what's the difference between a neder and a nidava? Nedarim, related to a neder, metu, if it died, o nignivu, or if it was stolen, o avdu, or if it was lost, chayav ba'acharayutan, then he is liable for its replacement value. Nidavot, metu, o nignivu, o avdu, for a nidava, if it dies or is stolen or is lost, Eino chayav b'achariyutan, then he is not liable for its replacement value, as our Mishnah said. Minah hane mile, the Gemara goes on, what is the biblical scriptural source for this distinction? Ditanu rabbanan, for the rabbis learned in a Mishnah. V'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. This is related to the sacrifice of an ola, which is what we were talking about. You took a neder to offer an ola, and it shall be an appeasement for him. This is actually talking about the mitzvah of smicha, when he puts his hands on the animal becomes an appeasement for him. L'chaper alav, to atone on him. That's what the language of the verse is alav, on him. Rabbi Shimon Omer, et she'alav, that which is on him, chayav b'acharito, he is liable for its replacement value. Ve'et she'eino alav, and what is that which is not on him, eino chayav b'acharito, he is not liable for its replacement value. So basically the idea is that since in the neder he says, hare alai, it's on me to bring this neder, that that specifically the verse here is referring to those kinds of vows that are on him. But the Gemara continues on, my mashma, but how do you know that this has anything to do, or what does this imply? How does it imply that you're liable for its replacement value? It certainly is indicating that it has something to do with being on you, but how does it have to do with the replacement value? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, Kevan de Amar Alai, once he says this neder is upon me, Kiman Dita'in Akatfe Dame. It's as if he loaded it onto his shoulders. In other words, figuratively, it's like it's on his shoulders. And once it's on his shoulders, it really belongs to him, and he is liable for it. Even if it somehow gets taken away from him, he must replace it. So by saying a lie, it's almost as if he literally puts the animal on his back and becomes responsible for it, even if something happens to it. That's the two quick Mishnahs. The next Mishnah takes a little while to unpack, so we will save it for next time. Have a wonderful day.